Lord Jesus, we thank you for Harry. We thank you that he's going to just share his heart today and bring a word from your heart. Pray that we'd be open, we'd be receptive, and that, Lord God, you'd have your way in our midst today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Come on, can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Just thank him in advance for what he's going to do. I'd also like to honour your pastors this morning, Pastor Roger and Cheryl Rogel, that's their combined name. But Pastor Roger and Cheryl, so grateful for you and for the opportunity to be here today in your church, standing in your pulpit. It's a huge honour. Don't take it lightly. I don't know about you, but I'm very grateful for your pastors. If you're grateful for your pastors, could you show them some love and some respect and honour this morning? It's a good time to be alive, and it's good to be in the church. If you have your Bible, grab it out. The book of Exodus is where we're going to read chapter 2. While you turn there, yes, I am. I've been involved in Arise for 10 years, as I've already said, and Annalise and I do run the kids ministry. Annalise does all the people and pastoral, and then I run around with a camera and film myself playing hide and seek. And so that's a lot of fun. And so I've been doing that for a few years now, but I just want to share an amazing praise report. This year we've crossed over 1 million views on all of our platforms across the world with kids that have been engaging with our content. And so God is using the seasons of difficulty through COVID and through these restrictive seasons to reach a new generation. And it's a huge honor to be a part of that. And pray that your kids are blessed as well as they watch it. And we've just released a podcast, so that'll be fun for car trips to school. If you do have kids, feel free to check that out. But the book of Exodus, chapter 2, it's going to come up on the screen as well. Let's read it together. It says, "The woman became pregnant," that's a good place to start, and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance watching to see what would happen to him. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked alongside the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she said to her maid, she sent her maid to get, the small text is hard, so to get her baby for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother. "I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, in verse 10, later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who, and this is important, adopted him as her own son. Adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." In verse 11, many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews. His own people, the Hebrews. His own people, the Hebrews. And when he saw how hard they were forced to, forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. The next day, when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. "Why are you beating up your friend?" Moses said to the one who started the fight. The man replied, "Who appointed you to be the prince and judge? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Then Moses was afraid, thinking, "Everyone knows what I did." And sure enough, Pharaoh heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. I want to talk to us today about a topic that is something new for me. I've not preached this before, but it's something the Lord's been doing in my life. And I want to talk about it with us today. The topic of the message and the title, you can write this down, is Processing Pain. I want to look at Moses' life and talk about how to process pain in a healthy way so that we can live in the plans and promises that God has for us. And so if you're ready for that this morning, we're going to pray and we're going to get into it. We'll pray one more time. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence. It's here this morning. I ask God that you would speak to us. We thank you for your love and your grace. Father, I pray for any heaviness, even at the title of this message, where people are feeling heavy, where people are feeling burdened. God, I declare right now that burden to ease, that burden to lift, that, Father, we would encounter you afresh today. We love you, God. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said, amen. Hands up if you like pain, just any type of pain. Not many, if any. That's the reality. There are some of my friends at the moment are going to the gym and they love the burn after working out. I'm not a fan of the burn. I'm a fan of the couch and like food. I like that burn. I don't like pain. Pain's hard. When I was a kid, I experienced some of the worst pain I'd ever experienced. We were playing ball tag at lunch, and ball tag, it should be an Olympic sport because it's very, very intense. If you never played ball tag before, you basically grab a tennis ball or a small ball, and the idea is to throw the ball if you're in to someone else and hit them so that they become in. So it was very, very hyper competitive at school. And we were running around the playground, and the ball bounced in front of me, and the tagger was a long way off. So I thought to myself, I'll hide the ball so they can't get me or anybody else, and they'll be looking for the ball. This is like a cheat code hack to the game. So what I did was I grabbed bark from the playground and I started to move the ball around the playground to try and hide it. And as I was moving the ball, what I didn't do was look up and see what was in front of me. And in the playground back then, this is before like health and safety was really a thing, there were these two massive thick wires that you would hang on and shuffle along on the playground. And as I was moving the ball, I came and I ripped off a whole bunch of my nose, and some bone came off and flesh and blood and guts came. I don't know guts, but you know, just getting carried away with the story. And it was unbelievably painful. And this moment of pain really marked me. It was something that you could really see on the outside. I had a massive thing over my face that was trying to help it heal. And for weeks, you know, I was like walking around school like I was a hero. You know, yeah, I had some battle wounds from ball tag. Let's go. The thing about outside pain is that outside pain has some perks, you know, like you have the scars to prove the wars you've been in, you know, the battles that you've fought. If you've ever had a cast, you know, it's quite fun getting everybody to sign the cast, you know. Outside, external pain, it has some perks, but the one thing that unites us all as humans and will always unite us is that we all experience internal pain. We all go through things in our lives that are going to hurt us on the inside. And the reality is for us as Christians that if we don't process our pain in a healthy way, if we park in it and get stuck, we fail to live the life that God has for us. I want to take a moment and make sure it's really clear the life that God has for us. His plan and his purpose for you and for me is fullness and freedom. That's what God wants for every person on the earth. And for us as Christians, we have access to that through salvation. But for us as Christians, if we don't process our pain, we can end up parking in it, staying still, and not moving into that life that God has for us. And as individuals, this can be a really depressing reality. But I believe for us as the church, this is not just depressing, it's devastating. Because as the church, we stop being who we're called to be and helping others find Jesus too. Moses, in the story that we've read today, Moses, he's raised in the courts of Pharaoh. He's adopted into the family. Verse 10, we read it. He was adopted as her own son. And scholars think that for 25 years, Moses would have grown up raised as an Egyptian, trained to take the throne and to lead as Egyptian royalty. However, at some point in Moses' life, he actually rejects this premise. He rejects that identity. In Acts chapter 11, verse 24, it says, "It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." So picture this. At some point, Moses, he went from being an Egyptian somebody with a mighty future to accepting the identity of a Hebrew nobody with a messed up past. I don't know about you, but I would struggle with that. That if for 25 years I was raised one way of thinking and then I later discover that I'm actually not Egyptian, I'm Hebrew, that is going to cause some internal pain. That's going to make you ask some questions. If you break it down, this is what I believe it would have been. I would have felt like if I was Moses. The revelation of who he was in my heart would have been painful. That my identity for 25 years is not what I thought. Furthermore, that I survived when all of my people, if you read chapter 1 of Exodus here, we read that all of his people were murdered, the young children were murdered. I would feel so guilty for the fact that I survived when everybody else didn't, let alone the fact that I survived. It was my grandparents that actually executed the order to kill off my fellow people. He'd be thinking thoughts like, why did I survive and others didn't? What's so special about me? The people I once hated as an Egyptian is who I'm now am, a Hebrew. So now there's this hypocritical nature that's going on inside him. There's this tension that could have easily been present. And I don't know about you, that sounds like a lot of emotional trauma and a lot of emotional pain to try and deal with. And we know that Moses, he has this moment in verse 11 where he goes out to see his own people. And this word, his own people, this word in the Hebrew, I'm gonna really butcher this, but go with me this morning. It's ach. Ach. Sounds quite Scottish more than Hebrew, to be fair. I feel more at home saying that word. But it means people of his kind. So at this point in the story, Moses, he identifies as a Hebrew. So these are his people that he's seeing. He's going out to see his people. And the people that he's seeing now, he's witnessing them being beaten, being abused. He's coming to terms with the fact that while he was living in the plushy palace, everyone was getting punished and beaten. This is a huge moment of emotional turmoil. And Moses, we see, acts out of emotional overflow and murders the Egyptian guard. In his emotional state, he acts out. He makes a mistake. And he buries the body in the sand. And we know that because the Bible says. But we know that he was ashamed and guilty and afraid because he checked before he murdered them to make sure no one was watching. Murdered the guy. Buried him in the sand. Fun times for everybody. This is all out of his emotion. So from this moment, imagine more emotion now going into Moses. Guilt for murder. Shame. Fear. Anxiety. More pain going on in the internal places of Moses' heart. In verse 15, even though he tried to hide it, Pharaoh ends up hearing about it and now tries to kill him. So now there's even more emotional pain here going on. There's rejection issues now from the people that he once loved. A father figure in his life now trying to kill him. There's family issues, identity pain. There's so much pain going on the inside of Moses. He has so much pain, so much emotional trauma that the Bible says that he decides to run into isolation and hide himself away. I think this is what we do as well as people. I think when push comes to shove and we're facing all this emotional trauma, all this emotional pain, it's really easy for us to isolate ourselves away from the things that we know are healthy for us, away from God's people, away from the church. We without realizing it, instead of processing our pain, we try and isolate ourselves and we try and park in our pain. And we spend time in the wilderness drifting from God and the people that we love. And what this does in reality is it doesn't lead us towards the life God has for us. It leads us further away. And the reality is that you and I, all of us in the room, we're all going to experience trauma at some point. We're all going to experience pain. And today I want to unpack this for us and try and help us get to the point where we can be okay with the fact that it's part of the human condition that we're going to experience pain, but also begin the journey of processing our pain in a healthy way. That's the goal for this morning. And what I thought about this week was that you and I, we're like sponges. We're like sponges. We're designed by God to soak in his presence. That's why he created us. You and I have been created by God for God, so that we would enjoy his presence and soak in his goodness. The only problem is that in life, the emotional trauma that we go through, the pain that we experience, can be broken down into two categories, wax and lax. And wax, write this down, wax are the things that happen to us or things that we do that leave emotional bruising on the inside. We experience wax. Lax are things that we experience, things that we lack in our lives emotionally and leave us in a place of emotional deficit. So these are the two types of categories that we experience when it comes to emotional pain, emotional trauma, wax and lax. And to help illustrate this morning, could you come and help me this morning, come and hold the sponge? Because I have two hands. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, let's give it up for our volunteer this morning helping us out. You stand in front of the bowl like that. Yeah, good. Okay, now hold it out in front of the bowl. Don't feel too embarrassed. Okay, you can't do too much wrong this morning. This is like a real life version of Arise Kids TV, isn't it? This is good. So wax and lax, right? Like we go through things, and because we're like a sponge, should we open this up? So what happens there? There you go. Smells good. Smells good. Smells good. Yep. Wax and lax. So we experience. Hold it over the bowl. Yep. We experience the words that people say. And these wax, things that people say to us about how we look, things we did wrong that people mock us for, all sorts of words that people say to us and about us, we get hit by it. And because we're like a sponge, we just take it on board. What else have we got in my little bag of goodies? Some sweet chili sauce. Do you like sweet chili sauce? Not sure? No, me either, but that's okay. It's good. They screw things on so heavily. Okay, so I want us to imagine that this represents the actions that people take against us. And what happens is it comes onto our lives and we absorb it, we take it on board, and like we're a sponge, we just absorb this pain, this trauma, this emotional hurt, and it sits in us. That smells quite potent. That smells, doesn't it? It gets in us, inside our very being, and we hold on to this pain and this trauma through the things that people do to us. What about this one here? This is some premium dark soy sauce. There you go. We could make a little what's that called? Stir fry. We could do a stir fry. So I want us to imagine that this represents past regrets from things that we've done. Because we hold on to our pain and our trauma through regret. And it's like a whack in our life. And this goes into our heart. Well, this one's a little bit wild. Goes into our heart as well. And it just absorbs and takes it on and just... Oh, sorry, that's your finger. Sorry about that. It goes into our heart. It goes into our lives. And we absorb and hold on to these things. It's regret. We hold on to many regrets from our past. Many things that we really should let go because we can't change it. But there are regrets in our lives. Okay, what about this? The last one in my little bag of goodies, some traditional mayonnaise, you know? That's good. Can you eat mayonnaise? No? That's okay. You're not missing out on too much, in my personal opinion. I want us to imagine, this has got a safety seal. Should have really checked beforehand. I want us to imagine that today this mayonnaise represents things that are spoken over us and severe loss and pain. The words that people say over us, maybe it's father figures. Maybe it's people we've looked up to, people that we've needed affirmation from, but we've been damaged by. And this just gets all up in, oh yeah, that's good. That gets all up in there. Oh, that's lovely. Would you like a drink? You can drink this at the end if you like. Just hold it up and show everybody. This is what happens on the inside of us when we hold on to our pain and our trauma. A lovely afternoon tea delight. Give it up for our volunteer. I'll hold that from there. Thank you so much. So these things in our lives happen either because of mistakes that we make and or things that happen outside of our control. And we have a choice to make as people. We can either process this pain or we can park in it. We can just live in it. We can hold on to it. And some of the reasons we do that is because we don't actually know what to do. So what we do is we just shut down. We're like, okay, cool. I actually just need to escape. I need to run away. I need to find a place where I can just be okay with what's going on. And I think the reality is that when we choose to park in this, what happens as an eventuality is that we begin to act out in sin to cope and medicate our own pain. We begin to do things in our lives that try and take the pain away. Anger, drugs and alcohol. Some other things, I'm aware of some of the young ears in the room, but you can continue to think about what sort of things we use to cope with this stuff and self-medicate our pain, just so that we can cope. And the more that we do this, we damage ourselves, and we actually carry it around with us. And so my pain, if you were to hold a sponge, and I gave you my sponge, and your sponge and my sponge got involved, it's pretty gross, isn't it? Yeah, that's a good face to make, yeah. My sponge rubs off on your sponge, and hurt people end up hurting people. And this is what happens. We go around sharing our pain. We go around not dealing with it. In our acting out, we live in a life of sin, doing things that don't honor God, don't draw us closer to God, and instead keep us isolated in our place of sin. And I want to encourage you today that this is not God's plan. This is not what God wants for us. God wants to give us freedom and fullness of life. Moses, however, this is what Moses did. He had a whole bunch of pain, and he ended up acting out in murder. And that's a pretty big one. that's a significant choice to go and murder someone out of emotional trauma and emotional pain. And when we park in our pain, we struggle to move forward. We medicate, we act out, and we get stuck in our sin. You might be wondering why I know that. Like, why? What gives you so much authority to say this so blunt and blatantly? Well, when I was 16 years old, I experienced some of the most ruthless trauma I've ever experienced in my life. And it might be different to you, but for me, it was significant. I woke up one morning on a Friday morning, and Mum and Dad were arguing. They were having a big argument. It was a school day, so I got up to tell them to be quiet so that I could sleep because I need my energy for maths, you know. Let's be honest, I just wanted to sleep. I got up and Mum came running out of her bedroom. She ran out of her bedroom. She was in tears. She was weeping. It's true. It's true. It's true. She runs out of the house. My dad comes out of the room, gets down on my eye level and says, hit me. Hit me. I was like, it wasn't that loud. I just want to go back to bed. You know, just relax, you know. He's like, hit me. It's true. It's true. I was like, what's true? I've been having an affair. It's true. I've been having an affair. In that moment, I didn't hit my dad. I just left him. Dad ran out of the house. And that day was a weird day. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle this emotional trauma. And so I already had anger management issues at the time when I was young. I experienced some pretty ruthless bullying at school. I think of rocks being chucked at my head and coming home bleeding and broken. And in this moment, I was struggling to process my emotion. I was struggling to figure it out. I was angry. I was disappointed. I felt incredibly rejected. I felt alone. And so my only way that I knew how to process that pain was not to process it at all, but to medicate it. I started using the world and the things the world could offer me. As a 16-year-old boy, you can only imagine what that would be, again, for the ears in the room. But I began to engage with things that would help me medicate my pain, and I parked in it. For 3 years, I parked in it. I didn't go to God because I was like, how can my dad, who's a Christian, how can he fall like that? Like, what? That's not fair, God. If you really loved me, you wouldn't do this to me. If you really loved me, you wouldn't let me walk through the season. And I rejected God because I felt rejected, and I parked in all of my pain. For 3 years, I got involved in a bunch of stuff that just wasn't a glorifying God lifestyle. Nothing too drastic. No murder, can confirm. But I just medicated my pain. I just tried to find ways to be okay. Eventually, I found my way back to God. I was about 19. I came back into church. I remember coming into the church at the Michael Fowler Center. Pastor John was preaching at the time. I have no idea what he said, but I stood in the room, and the one thing that I do remember clearly is he said, God loves you. He hasn't left you. Jesus is alive, and he wants relationship with you. And something inside me leapt. Something inside me came alive, and I felt drawn to make that decision to come back to God. I felt the Lord lead me to get professional help. It didn't happen straight away. I got involved in the ministry school. I started working for the church, and there were still bits of my pain that coming to Jesus I thought would fix it all. I was like, you can have it all, Lord. You know, like, I'll give it to you and take it all, please. You know, there were still things in there that I needed to actually process, but I didn't know how. So I parked in it. And last year, the Lord told me to go and see a counselor. And I was like, no, you know, but I did. I went and I took a sabbatical from ministry. I didn't preach for 6 to 8 months as I dealt with this stuff. And I sat with the Lord in the counseling room. And over the last 6 to 8 months, 9 months, I've been learning how to process my pain in a healthy way. And today I wanted to share what my process has been and some of the things that I've learned so that we can help start that journey together. Is this okay? I know it just got quite heavy. I just want to be open and honest with you this morning and try and help us as a church community go on the path of healing and wholeness. So how do we process our pain well? I do want to just take a moment and acknowledge the fact that this is a very complex issue and that I myself am not a trained professional. So what I want to share with you is my testimony. That's all I have authority to do, is share with you my testimony. That's all I can do. And I want to encourage you that at the end of today, you might be like, man, I actually want to get some professional help. I would encourage you to do that. In fact, that's one of the points. So I'll park that there and come back to it later. But the first thing I want us to do is I want us to first, number one, this is how we process our pain well, is we have to first acknowledge and accept your pain. That's the first thing we have to do. Because if you don't acknowledge it, if you don't accept it, then there's nothing to deal with. But there is. So we have to acknowledge it and we have to accept the fact that I'm not perfect. And for some of us in the room, that's going to be too much already. Like, that's just going to take you some time just to deal with the fact that you're not perfect. I know I had to. I was like, no, I am God's beloved son. I am holy. I'm a pastor. No, I'm broken and I need Jesus. I needed to accept it. This is what Proverbs says. Proverbs 28:13 says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Now, before any stones get thrown, what I'm not saying that your pain is the sin. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is the way that some of us are choosing to medicate our pain, that's the sin. See, the truth is that where there is sin, you can often trace it back to pain, to emotional trauma. Often, very regularly, you can. So what we have to do first is we have to accept the fact that there's some stuff in our hearts, stuff in our lives, some whacks and some lacks we've experienced that we have to deal with. That's the first thing. Number two, what we have to do is then, after we've accepted it, we have to identify what that pain actually is. And in 2007, there was an interesting study that was done. They did a survey of a whole bunch of people going through counseling processes. And they said that that if you can label your pain, it decreases its intensity severely. So people who can actually put their finger on what it is that they're going through, what's that feeling that I feel? Like, what is it that's going on in my heart? Once we identify it, we can start to process it in a way that doesn't feel like it's overwhelming. So if we can identify what that pain is, this is where David said, "Search my heart, Lord." That's a great prayer to pray every day. God, search my heart. What's going on inside me today? Like, God wants us to be, how good is that? God wants us to be aware of what's going on the inside of us. He's not afraid of our emotion. He's not afraid. He created us. He knows we've got stuff going on. So God, search my heart. Show me what's going on the inside so that I can deal with this properly. Here's a couple of good questions you can ask. Number one, what have I been carrying around? What emotions have I been carrying? What is the emotion I feel right now? For some of you, it'll be hungry because it's almost lunchtime. That might be painful for you, I don't know. But it might be anger, frustration, sadness, heaviness. Second question it's good to ask is, what whacks or lacks have I experienced in my life? Write down what you think. Anger, I feel low, flat, hopeless. Just write it down. Identify what they are so you can start healing from it. You might not get it right, but something's better than nothing. So write it down. Number three is to start to work through the pain. And this is where it's going to be really hard and it's going to take a lot of time. For some of us, there's some significant things we're going to have to work through and it might take years. For some of us, it might just be some little things that if we just identified what they were and put some healthy boundaries in place, things would be a lot better for us. Regardless, it's going to take time. So the way that we start working through the pain is we first have to grieve. Like, there's some pain that we're actually just going to have to sit with the Lord on. Like, that happened to me. Yep, Dad had the affair. Yep, that happened. And I'm really sad about that. I'm really sad. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." So it's actually appropriate for you and for me, even through the stuff we're going through with church right now, I had to mourn. I had to sit with the Lord and be like, "God, I don't understand. Like, 5 months ago, we were having revival, and it was all good. And now all of a sudden, everything like arises, the worst church on the face of the earth. I personally don't understand. I'm struggling with that." I had to grieve it. I had to sit. There were nights where Annalise and I sat together and we just wept because the bride of Christ was being torn down. Even now I feel emotional about it and I'm probably still in that little bit of grief process. You have to have some conversations with people who have hurt you, and maybe you're going to have to say sorry. There's going to be some conversations that we're going to have even with each other in the room that maybe there's some things that have been said. If someone said something to you, you have to go have that conversation. That's what the Bible says in Matthew. Go read it. The process of like hitting people up about stuff. Hey, you said that. It hurt me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry too. So the second thing after we grieve is we identify how we've been coping with it. Where's the sin that we've been living in? The overflow of our pain. Maybe there's been some drugs or alcohol. Maybe we're actually just blaming other people. You know, like, it's all their fault. You know, not me, it's them, you know. Get them, God. Maybe for us, we're binging on fast food, junk food. Or maybe we just got stuck in some isolating behavior. This is where we get stuck in our sin. And the devil loves it when we get parked here. This is what he wants us to do, is just remain in this place, parked in our sins, so that we can't move forward. So we have to identify how we've been coping with it. Then the next thing is that we have to take responsibility. We actually have to start and say that, you know what, there's stuff in my heart that I have to deal with. And we have to start replacing bad behavior with good ones. What can you do? Get in a small group, a life group. Get in a connect group. Get with people. Iron, the Bible says, sharpens iron. So where there's space in your life to allow people to come in, for some of us that's going to be part of our time. That's going to be really hard because it was people that hurt you. So why? Here's the reality. We've been hurt in community, so we have to heal in community. For some of us, we're just going to have to reduce our fast food to once a week. I have to do that. Part of my coping mechanisms is just takeaway. Praise God. I used to have a fast metabolism too. I'm actually quite grumpy. It slowed right down. We have to actually just get some good sleep. Put some boundaries on your sleep. Be in bed by 9 o'clock. What? Last night we went to bed at 9:30 and I loved it. Now put some boundaries around your sleep. Read the Bible. What? The Bible? Yeah, read your Bible every day. Get into the Word. Put some good boundaries on your life. Maybe for some of us it's going to be to exercise, and I just reject that right now, just in this part of my life. I just put that to the side. Here's the truth. You can't be responsible for anything else other than your response. Put it another way. Your response is your responsibility. The last thing here on how we can process our pain, work through our pain, is to get professional help. It's funny, eh? Because we go to the dentist when our teeth are in pain. We go to the doctor when our body's in pain. We go to the mechanic when our car's in pain. And we know our car's in pain. It's like, ah! You know? So we go to the mechanic. So why don't we go to, like, professionals to help us process our pain? There's a weird stigma here in New Zealand that's like, if you do, oh, weak, what a weak guy. No, no, what a real guy. What an honest guy. What a humble guy. Get honest. Get professional help. To process our pain, we need to get professional help. Someone with the skills and tools to actually help us. If you don't know where to go as a church, we'd love to help you. We'd love to help you get involved. I believe there's a few counselors here in our church that would love to help you process that pain in a healthy way, but we'd love to help you get there. And maybe the keys could come and join me this morning. The fourth thing we need to do to process our pain is we need to get face to face with the fire. Truth is about Moses' story, we know that he goes out and he be a shepherd and he goes and does some shepherding and looks after some sheep. We don't know the steps that Moses took to process his pain. The Bible doesn't give us that information. I wish it did. It would make for some good reading. I'd love to know how Moses processed it. But the one thing we do know is it picks up in chapter 3. It says, one day Moses, he was tending the herd. And he goes out to find a lost sheep. And as he goes to find the lost sheep, he comes face to face with God in the burning bush. Classic kids ministry story, that one. It's funny, going through this message, I didn't realize how much of my Moses theology was based on the Prince of Egypt movie. I was like, whoa, that stuff didn't, not all of that happened. I have to read my Bible. Moses, he comes face to face with God. He comes face to face with the fire. See, fire in the Bible, it represents the presence of God. The refining fire of God. I believe with all of my heart that you and I, we need to be people. The church needs to be people who dwell in the presence of God. It can't just be a Sunday. Like if it's just a Sunday alone, we come, we're like, yes, glory to God. But Monday through Saturday, we don't dwell in the presence of God. Then we miss out on the fullness of life that God has for us. I know for all of us, it's going to look different. Some of us, it might just be 15 minutes in the morning before the kids wake up. Some of us, we've got a lot of expendable time, and it might be hours at night, one night a week, just pouring over the Word of God, allowing His presence to saturate us. This is what Jesus says in the book of Matthew 11. It says, come to me. This is what Jesus said. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I love that. He is gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. This is our Jesus. God, the refining fire. And Jesus, the living water. God, the refining fire. And Jesus, the living water. When we read water in the Bible, we can read about cleansing. That's His love. Cleanses us. Washes us white as snow. In His presence, we find the refining fire. In His presence, we find the cleansing and refreshing love and grace and mercy of God. You know, for us, if we've been parking in our pain, the way we need to process it, come back and help, quick, is we need to come to Jesus. And we need to say, hold it there. We need to say, God, I need your water. Your living water. Come to me, all who are weary. Come to me, all who are heavy burdened. What else does he say? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Flip it over to the other side. Yeah. We'll get this yuck stuff off. The thing is that when I came to Jesus that day, I thought that everything was going to be fine. I thought that you washed me clean, God. So now I have no more trauma. I have no more pain. And the truth is that, stay there. The truth is that, yes, he did. He forgave me of my sin. He released me from the burdens of what I did to medicate my pain. But the truth is there was still some stuff I needed to process. That processing, sometimes it means we've got to squeeze it. Sometimes it means we've got to get uncomfortable. But the more we do, and the more we allow God to come and wash us clean, there might still be the memories, but I feel complete. There might still be the things that we're struggling with. There might still be moments where, man, today's hard, but I've got a better way. Jesus' way. Because I've learned from his teaching. I've got a way of grace and mercy and love. And if you could see it close up, there's still bits of sweet chili in there. Still smells like disgusting. And that's why we need Jesus every day. Because it's through the processing of our pain that we can live in fullness and freedom. The life that God has for us. Thank you. And so this morning, oh, that's right. I've got to tell you what happened with Mum and Dad. Mum and Dad went on this processing pain journey. I'm 28 years old now. It happened when I was 16. You can do the quick maths in your head. A long time. Mum and Dad, they made a decision that they weren't going to separate. That they were going to work through their pain. That they were going to reconcile their marriage. And to this day, they're still married. They love each other. Mum and Dad attend church. They come to church. Dad's involved in a life group. Mum's got some pain she's still processing. Stuff with church. The way that some of the things that I got treated when I was in ministry school, some of the things hurts for her, but she's processing it. It takes time. It's not always easy. But my family is blessed because they chose to reconcile. I'm blessed because Mum and Dad showed me that they can process their pain. Their courage gave me courage. And so now I'm standing before you like a dirty, dirty sponge. Forgiven of my sin, but still human. And the truth is that I'm still on the journey. I will always be on the journey. Here's what God demands. Not perfection, progression. God's not looking at you going, you need to be perfect. Like I made you in your mother's womb. No, he's saying, I just want you to be more like me. I just want you to go on the journey of life with me. This morning, I know in the room, because I'm standing here holding back tears, I know in the room there's varying levels of pain. For some of our younger guys in the room, there's some bullying going on that's really hard. There's some comparison going on that's really hard. For our older kids in the room, there's some bullying going on. There's some comparison going on. Pain is scalable to your capacity, to as you are as a human. What's massive for me might not be massive for you, but what's massive for you might not be massive for me. And that's why God loves each one of us as individuals. He doesn't clump us into a group and say, yeah, you've all got pain, and so we'll just churn you through and sort it. No, he's like, one by one. One by one. Ironically, Moses was looking for one, and he found the one. And so today, I'm not going to tell you that if you pray a prayer or if you receive prayer, everything's going to be good. Because I don't know if it will be. There's still going to be some stuff you might have to work through. But I do know this, that if you receive some prayer today for some stuff that you need to let go of, if you receive prayer today for some stuff that's been holding you down, you can begin the processing pain journey. So could you stand to your feet with me, church, all across the room? I asked the team to sing a song called The Beautiful Exchange. Because I love that. It's an exchange. Jeez, you're tall. It's an exchange. We come to God with what we've got, and God gives us what he has. We give him our humanity, and he gives us the presence of heaven. The fruit of the Spirit comes alive in our lives. But before we come to God, we have to first know him. I'd love to pray with anybody today who doesn't have their own relationship with Jesus. We're going to sing, and what I want to do is after we sing for a bit, I want to encourage you to come down the front. After we've worshipped for a bit, if you want to receive a relationship with Jesus this morning, I want you to come down the front. I want to pray for you. If you've got stuff that you've been wrestling with, I want to pray for you. If you're dealing with some sin that you know you need to let go this morning, if you're dealing with some pain and you need to confess that, Lord, I've lived a life that hasn't honored you because of that pain, I want to pray with you. Without Jesus, none of this is possible. Without Jesus' love and death and resurrection on the cross, none of this is possible. He's here today. Come and bring him your stuff. Let's pray and sing. Father, I thank you for your presence. It's here. God, I declare boldness. I declare courage. Father, I'm asking this morning that we would be a people who draw near to you. You said, come to me. So this morning, we bring you our stuff in a beautiful exchange. In Jesus' name, let's sing. You were